This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good afternoon. I'm Roshan Kunnison, and welcome to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Now, with the upcoming launch of the My Startup Single Window for Startups, today we explore how this initiative will streamline startup matters and address the long-standing issue of a fragmented and fragmentation and disconnect when it comes to startup support and resources from the government with all the agencies and bodies that we have in play. Joining us for this conversation is Norman Van Harker. He's the group CEO of the Cradle Fund, and the launch will be happening next week, next Tuesday, in conjunction with KL20. A lot of initiatives happening next week for the startup ecosystem, but specifically to the single window in our conversation today. We're going to be getting into a lot of things, including what Norman can tell us about the upcoming single window, from the features and enhancements to how it will streamline the startup ecosystem and optimize funding programs. We'll also take a little bit of a wider view and talk about how the single window and My Startup initiatives connect to things like the Malaysian Startup Ecosystem Roadmap, or more commonly known as SUPER, and MAVCAP's recently launched MVCR, which is the Malaysia Venture Capital Roadmap, as well as how this all even more ties into Malaysia's ambitions to get KL ranked in amongst the 20 top global startup ecosystems by 2030. If you have any thoughts, you can always WhatsApp us on our U-Mobile number. That's 018-789-8899. Once again, our U-Mobile number is 018-789-8899. Feel free to WhatsApp us there. Norman, welcome to the show. Good to have you in the studio with us.
Hi Roshan. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Big week next week. I'm sure all of you, all the various agencies, are hard at work getting ready for KL20 on Monday and Tuesday.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, we've been working pretty hard for it ever since Q4 of last year, trying to get this everything that we're about to launch next week all in place and good to go for next week.
Yeah, a lot of focus on the ecosystem. As I mentioned, MVCR was launched a few weeks back. Super has been something that's been in the works for a while. Yeah. The single window, I think when it was announced in budget 2024, the music to many people's ears, but everyone's just kind of waiting for the execution, right? It's the standard Malaysian story. Great plan. How is it going to be executed? Hopefully you can shed some light today. Before that, tell us a little bit about KL20. A lot of things happening. We've been promised a lot of big announcements. Yeah. What should we be expecting next week?
Right. Thanks, Roshan. KL20 is actually a truly unprecedented level of an event, a startup event here in Malaysia. First off, I mean, we've seen tremendous support from the government. Even the YAB Prime Minister will be there. Three ministers from Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, Ministry of Economy, Ministry of Digital will be there for the event. So this is actually a one-of-a-kind event that can bring focus not just within Malaysia, but also from internationally as well, to really place Malaysia as a truly a vibrant hub for startup activities. You know, apart from that, expect to see international speakers, investors, international startups as well, who will come over and see what we have to offer for them.
And this is happening at the KL Convention Center Monday and Tuesday, is that right?
Correct. Full 2 days.
All right. Now, one of the initiatives, of course, is the single window, which will be announced on Tuesday. Now, I understand, of course, you're not going to be able to tell us all of it, or at least we won't be able to see it, visualize it until Tuesday. But hopefully you can give us a sense for what to expect, because there was a lot of excitement about this and how this will evolve My Startup. Mm-hmm. But before we talk about what that will do to My Startup, what is My Startup today, right? And its relation with Cradle and its current purpose.
Yeah.
So, give us a bit of a history lesson.
I was going to get touch into that. A bit of a history lesson. So the Startup Ecosystem Roadmap, or SUPER 2021 to 2030, was launched back in November 2021. Mm. So it outlines our ambition and our strategy on how we want to elevate the Malaysia startup ecosystem, not to be just as a local champion, but an international champion, to be among the globally competitive ecosystems out there. I mean, we're talking Silicon Valley, we're talking London, we're talking even, surprisingly, Singapore is actually in the top 10 already. Yeah. So, I mean, what's stopping us from being up there with all our other peers, right? Mm-hmm. So from that roadmap, one of the key interventions under there is to actually to have this one single platform that can unify all the information and data about the ecosystem. Mm. So that's where the My Startup platform was created and
so
launched.
It was kind of like that first step of getting information across the board.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, information is key.
It was siloed, it was fragmented. Yeah,
exactly. So the age-old question about the Malaysian startup ecosystem, information and data is everywhere. Everyone is doing a lot of things without people actually seeing, you know, the whole congruence of it, right?
Yeah.
So over the years, My Startup evolved to launch other capacity building programs like the hackathons, accelerators. It's all to plug that gap within the ecosystem, to elevate our ecosystem. But now, with the single window, mm-hmm. we are planning to elevate the platform to an even higher level. So it's not going to be just a simple reference point for the ecosystem. It's going to be a lot more interactive, a lot more active. So what we're going to have in that single window is a focused, streamlined way for the ecosystem players to be able to access all that there is to offer in the Malaysian startup ecosystem. If I can just put it summarize at a very high level.
Yeah, because there are a lot of resources, but a lot of times, and this is something we hear often, we don't know how to access it or who has this funding. Or I heard this was announced in budget, but where do I go to get it?
Exactly.
Do I qualify? Do I go to Meranti? Do I go to MDAG? Do I go to MTDC?
Yeah.
Like, who do I go to?
Yeah.
So hopefully this will be able to address all of that. And how does My Startup relate to Cradle then? Because you are, after all, the group CEO of Cradle coming to talk to us about this. So talk to us about that relationship as well.
So My Startup is positioned as an initiative by the government to unify all the startup initiative under a single common brand, so to say. So right now, Cradle is the custodian of that initiative. So the platform is managed and operated by Cradle. But having said that, this is more of an ecosystem play. So that's why we use the brand My Startup, right? So because we don't want to have this confusion anymore, right? I mean, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, do I go to MDAC? Do I go to Cradle? Do I go to MathCap or MPDC? You know what? Come to My Startup.
Yeah.
We have everyone there for you to access.
So is it going to be something that points me the right direction, or is it going to take a more active role in the way startups access different things?
Yeah.
More active?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, if I can, give a little bit of a preview, right? I mean, just imagine, like, if you're a person who is thinking about, how do I start my startup? And just imagine that you will be taken through a journey where you will end up to be a successful startup. I mean, that is the vision of it, right?
Irrespective of stage.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more we want to get into, of course. Dive a little further into what you can tell us about the single window, but also KL20 and other initiatives at play. Folks, this is Enterprise Explorers, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. I've been speaking with Norman Van Hacker. He is the group CEO of the Cradle Fund, and we've been exploring the enhanced single window that's expected to launch next week to streamline startup matters. I'm Roshan Gunnison. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, and you're now listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. With the upcoming launch of the My Startup single window for startups, today we're exploring how this will streamline startup matters and get a bit of a glimpse of the launch that's happening next week, and how it will address long-standing issues of fragmentation in the ecosystem, as well as a view of how KL20 will play out and how all this connects with other initiatives like the Super Roadmap, as well as the MVCR Roadmap that was launched by MathCap just a few weeks back. Joining us for this conversation is Norman Van Hacker. He is the group CEO of the Cradle Fund. Norman, earlier you gave us a sense for a little bit of a top-line view at what we should expect next week with a single window. There are a few things, of course, that this aims to do, right? You're going to streamline processes, or at least how startups should interact with government and government bodies, optimize funding, hopefully, and make it easier for people to build businesses. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the, because I think there's about 200 million in funding across various initiatives out there that are supposed to be optimized under the single window. Can you shed some light as to how this will work or how this could look like?
Mm-hmm. Thanks, man. So if you can imagine you as a startup looking for a particular amount of funding, again, you would typically be either at an early stage or, you know, at a growth stage or even at a late stage even. So how the platform is going to optimize all this is to actually give you an interface that would allow you to be able to access the specific funding for your needs at where you are via that single access point. So if you can imagine, like, you know, you go into the platform and say, I'm a startup. I need so-and-so kind of funding, be it either an equity form or even debt or even grant if it's available for you at your stage. So all that will be, you can experience it in a more seamless manner, and it can really save you all that that effort and
that all confusion, that hunting, right?
All that hunting that goes into trying to solve this the issues that you're facing, I mean, especially funding, right? So that you can actually focus on what's the real deal about your business, right? To actually grow your technology and your business. Yes.
Especially in the early days when you've got all these grants available out there, even from yourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Cradle or even Amdek, you've got these early stage grants for just developing products. You want these entrepreneurs and these builders to be focused on building the product as opposed to hunting around for grants to support the building of that product, right?
Exactly.
And that's why we end up having CEOs or founders who are also full-time fundraisers at the same time, which distracts from the core mandate.
The grantrepreneurs, whatever they call them,
So that's one place. So one-stop shop to kind of look at your options, right? Whether it's debt, whether it's grants, whether it's equity, and through all the different agencies, I presume.
Correct. So, I mean, again, if I can just add a little bit more to that, I mean, you go to this interface, you get to choose actually the type of funding that you want. And later on in the future phase of development, imagine reverse pitching, where actually the funders will come in and look for you to pitch to you.
Interesting.
To help you to actually develop yourself.
I guess because it's a platform still, it becomes a little bit like a two-sided marketplace, right? On one point, you've got the startups who need funding, but as more funds come into Malaysia, we are, even before KL20, we have seen more funds coming in. AppWorks, I spoke to them just a few weeks back, actively coming to the country to look for companies to invest in.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a point where they can start looking at the database of startups and be like, oh, these are some interesting industries that I'm looking at.
An interesting fact, actually, in terms of the available dry powder out there in Southeast Asia is hitting more than $15 billion. Imagine all that available funds just waiting to be deployed, to be invested into the startup ecosystem. I mean, it is the right time for us to really showcase ourselves, man, our own startup ecosystem, our startups. Because,
And like you mentioned earlier, there's going to be a more active component here as opposed to just pointing people in the right direction, as opposed to being a glorified signboard. There's going to be more interactiveness and dynamicness to it. Are there any specific features that you can shout out while we're here before the launch, of course? Is there anything you can tell us outside of the optimizing fund flows?
Okay, apart from that, I mean, there's also attract for investors as well, to help investors to set up in Malaysia. Because the startup ecosystem is not just about the startups. I mean, there are other players in it as well.
Capital.
Right? So you have the startups themselves and the investors and the talent. Mm-hmm. So all that personas will be given that access, a specialized, personalized access to access the resources that are available as specific for you and who you are in the ecosystem.
So we've got one side encouraging, facilitating the investors, helping them find companies to invest in, helping them set up easier. This sounds somewhat familiar to my conversation with Amy from MavCap just a few weeks back when she came in to talk about the Malaysia Venture Capital Roadmap. Talk to us about how the single window relates or connects with that initiative, that roadmap as well.
Excellent. So MVCR, Malaysia Venture Capital Roadmap, is actually very much in line with the larger Startup Ecosystem Roadmap Super, because it addresses the VC ecosystem. So a large part of the startup ecosystem is just actually supported by all the VC funding. So these are the investors that actually take the risk in investing into startups. So we all know investing in startups is very, very risky. But having said that, VCs are there with the right expertise to be able to not just invest, but also build the startups, to venture build the startups into successful businesses. So now, with the MVCR, there is that specific initiative under it. I think one of it is to set up a centralized platform for VCs. So this is where the single window can take a really crucial play by playing that role of that centralized platform for VCs.
So building a centralized platform database for the VCs, but also on with MyStartup's original mandate that for the startup ecosystem, for the startups as well. How does, I guess, because it's a platform, you need to encourage people to get on the platform itself, right? Are there any plans to kind of push that forward to encourage startups and venture capitalists to join the platform?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm smiling now because I know the amount of work that my team has to go through. I mean, I do have to give a bit of a shout out for them because there's been a lot of work that's been put in, you know, trying to get everybody on board, trying to get everything done for the launch. I mean, I do have to give a big shout out for them. But having said that, the work is not done yet, even after the launch. There's a lot of awareness and promotional programs and marketing programs that we need to execute in order to increase the awareness and also the knowledge of how to actually better utilize the platform. And also, at the same time, it's an opportunity for us to learn as well on how to better optimize that platform, because we can't keep that platform static. It has to be fluid. It has to be agile. It has to progress with times, right?
Yeah. So we're going to be seeing roadshows as well to go to ground, connect to people, because it's not just about KL, right?
Yeah. So one of the main things that we do under our My Startup initiative is to ensure a more holistic and inclusive development of the startup ecosystem, not just in KL. Because what we realize is that there are other pockets of ecosystems out there in other states as well. And they need to be developed as well. Because I think Malaysia has a very strong proposition as a country to really place ourselves out there as a really vibrant startup ecosystem. We've gone to Penang, we've gone to Sabah, Sarawak, we've gone to Pahang, we've gone to Terengganu, we've gone to Johor. And what we've seen so far, I mean, is truly encouraging. And the support from the state government, I mean, is really exemplary. And I think we really need to support more for the startup ecosystem, yeah.
I've seen posts about the My Startup roadshows in Eastern Malaysia, different states, because it's also not just about Penang and Johor, it's also about the other states, right? Yeah. Entrepreneurs everywhere, people who can build startups everywhere. Now, the Super Roadmap, the Startup Ecosystem Roadmap 2021-2030 has been around for a while. Last year, I spoke to Harmesh about the roadmap itself. Mm-hmm. I think this was a big point last year. How does the single window connect or relate to the super roadmap? You know, is it a bit of a precursor? Did it inform the way the single window was built?
I think another way we can look at a single window is actually to see it as a gauge of where we are within that roadmap. Because one of the bigger targets for the roadmap is actually to achieve that critical mass of startups. To be a top 20, we do have to have that critical mass of startups. So the target for now is to have about 5,000 startups by 2025, right? So right now, we're about nearly 4,000 now. We do have, 1.5 years to go. But, I mean, above all that, it's actually, right, you know, how do we elevate ourselves into the top 20? And I do feel that this single window can really form a critical part of it to know where we are and how do we get there and really resolve some of the systemic issues within the ecosystem. Like you said, you know, the confusion and the difficulty in getting funding and support.
Get
programs,
that friction out of the way.
Get that friction out of the way. And then get our startups to focus on what's important, i.e. to build their product and their technologies and really set themselves apart. Yeah.
So the defragmentation of the ecosystem is one part. We've also seen Glix coming into play. You know, Kazana's got its Dana Impact. Quap came in with Dana Perintis. A lot more funding coming in. I think even EPF has announced that some of its assets will come into play as well for the ecosystem. So funding there's a lot more of it. There's a lot more attention being paid to the ecosystem. And when we were doing our post-budget coverage last year, when I was speaking to Doc Sivapalan, Vivek Raja of Scale Up Accelerator, I think it was the first time he said that, actually, we're not going to ask for any more funding from the government. That's been sorted. Now, there are other issues here to help scale up businesses. On that note, we've got the goal of 5,000 startups, as you mentioned, by 2025 as per Super. A single window is part of that longer roadmap. There are, I'm sure, other things in play. Chan Li Kang told the press in February, we're about more than 3,900, in line with your just under 4,000 startups right now. What do we define as a startup in Malaysia?
So that can be a point of contention as well. But having said that, I mean,
it's a very wide term, right?
Yeah, there's no set definition out there. But the definition that we use is actually a company that is a technology or innovation base with a scalable solution and a high growth strategy. So, but having said that, we don't consider startups as being a startup at the early stage of their development. So, you know, once a startup, you know, you go through different stages, your early stage, your growth stage, and then your late stage, and then you go all the way to your listing stage, right?
Yeah.
So that whole journey is that ecosystem. And I would actually go even earlier than that, the pre-startup as well. That is important as well to that new deal flow of new startups. It's important to actually encapsulate that ecosystem, actually, from end to end.
Seeding ideas, seeding culture, seeding that entrepreneurial spirit.
Correct, yeah.
Because I don't think many of us grow up thinking we want to be, maybe now that you'll see more representation of founders.
It is true. We do see a lot more younger portion of our population venturing into creating their own startups. I mean, it is a crazy nonsense.
It is a pipeline, right, at the end of the day. So feeding 5,000, I mean, building 5,000 startups is that earlier part of the funnel, and not all of them will survive. That's just part and parcel of life. But hopefully the ones that do will continue to scale up and become the Aradines or the Carsums of the world. The Farm Freshers, obviously Farm Freshers was not a startup, but one of my favorite companies. So I like bringing it up every once in a while. But also a great story, right? Starting a business much later in your life. You don't have to be young post-university. In fact, a lot of the successful startups were started by people in their 40s. Not everyone is a Zuckerberg dropping out of university. Now, while we're talking about the number of startups, there is also an argument that we should be focusing on better quality tech companies instead of just focusing on more and more startups. What's your view on this, especially given that Cradle focuses on the much earlier stage?
I mean, I agree with that point, actually. I mean, to be a successful company, I mean, to be the unicorn, like, you know, that's like the main target of a lot of startups, right? You got to have quality. I mean, the quality doesn't come from just your product, but also in the way you do business, the way you run your business, the way you run your team themselves, right? So therein lies that that unique balance, because you mentioned about the 5,000 startups. So is it a quality or quantity game? But to me, the way I see it, why can't we have 5,000 quality startups? So I think that's how we're approaching it. So we want to have this just 5,000, but not just 5,000 startups, but 5,000 quality startups. And that actually plays into what Malaysia is actually good at, actually. Our startups are becoming more and more known to be quite resilient at the early stage, which is great.
Because we got to make do with less, right? We've had a generation of startups who, because this country hasn't been a tier one location for capital. That's just a fact. So everyone's got to make do with what they can get. Valuations here are different. The other thing I've heard is that, you know, tend to get the profitability in a much more efficient manner.
Exactly.
Not all, but a lot of them. How does this relate back to then again? Because you were talking earlier about that definition of a startup, right? It's very important now that we're quantifying it to define, have a clear definition, which can be quite varied. A startup, do you guys define a startup also as an idea that someone's working on, or do you have to be fully incorporated? Do you have to be, right? So you have to be a company formally. It's not just a pre-idea. It's not a pre-revenue thing.
But doesn't mean that we don't support ideas.
Okay.
So one of our grants, CIP Spark, actually allows individuals to come and apply. So those with an idea.
To spark an idea.
I like that. And then.
And then Ignite comes after, is it?
Once you've gone through the Spark, I mean, of course, during the Spark grant program, you will have to incorporate operate your company, yeah. right? And then afterwards, once you're done, you do your first couple of years of revenue, you can come back again to get the CIP sprint to really mm-hmm. scale your business up, to really, you know, bring it to market.
Now, there is the ambition, of course, of beyond just 5,000, building 5,000 startups. And now that you say that we have 1.5 years left to build another 1,000 startups, I'm doing the math in my head. And we can do it. Hopefully next KL20 will ignite that pathway. But we also want to be this regional startup and mm-hmm. digital hub. This is a key goal. I think Chang Li Kang, Minister of Mostly Science, Technology and Innovation, said this a few months back, that upgrading the My Startup portal as that single window will help that. And you've highlighted some of the key points there. Again, optimizing the existing funding infrastructure from government bodies, but also creating that single window for both founders and investors to be able to find each other, right? Yeah. Matchmake Tinder for the startup ecosystem in a lot of ways. But how will this support us becoming a regional player in startup and digital?
I mean, first we have to see where we are in comparison with our regional peers. Right? I mean, a lot of people are probably thinking about how do we compete? How do we compete with Singapore? How do we compete with Indonesia?
Yeah.
How do we compete with some other guys? To me, I would say, why compete? Why not collaborate and leverage? So Malaysia has its unique selling points, right? Mm-hmm. So one of it is our startups are more resilient. They go into profitability a lot earlier compared to other startups. So this may be a lot more attractive for investors who are looking for businesses that are a bit more sustainable because they don't want to, you know, get burned, right? Mm-hmm. sometimes. So, yeah.
Especially with the tighter funding environment.
Yeah. But having said that, our startups really do still have that potential. I mean, a lot of bright ideas are actually coming out from our startups. And a lot of our talent have actually gone overseas as well, you know. I mean, I can name a few, you know, some of the technologies that they go into, I feel it's really amazing, you know. And these guys are really going to the frontier of things, you know. Web3, SpaceX, you know, those things. And startups are actually the best placed kind of entity to actually explore into this risky kind of a technology that no one actually does before. So I do feel that I think one of the key strength for Malaysians is that we do have quite a lot of this, and we just need to somehow come together and really support them and really help encourage them to grow further and bring them out, see how it is outside, you know, and to take them to the global stage. Because I feel like there's a lot more to do, and I wish I could share more.
I'm sure we'll do a panel after KL20 to kind of really dive into some of those key things that have come out. But, you know, conceptually, one of the things you mentioned there is risk. Risk appetite is such an important factor in, you know, that culture of whether people want to go and build businesses, right? And especially startups, because it's a high failure rate, right? This is a high risk, high impact businesses, or high growth, high value businesses that we're hoping will shape the new economy, because today, economy is still old school, right? Yeah. It's oil and gas, it's plantations, it's industrial. Semicons are a bright spark, but they're, you know, in the testing early stage, and we've got some tech there. A lot of tech there, but it's still not the, you know, the, it's not the Nvidia, right? We support them. But we want to create new jobs, higher value, higher income jobs, and that's going to come from new economy.
Yes.
Are there particular areas that we are focused on in developing? Because, you know, I can think of like some natural, like agritech, for example, seems like something that we can tap into. Islamic fintech as well. Do we have core areas that we're focused on?
I mean, look at drone tech.
Of course.
Number one, man. Yeah. All right. Space tech. You got two startups already there. One of them actually launched satellites already, and one of them has gone over to America doing wireless satellite charging. I mean, who does that, you know?
Yeah. Wireless satellite. Oh, yes.
Yes. Imagine
then,
that, right?
Yeah. And we spoke to SpaceIn as well, actually, a few months back.
SpaceIn was the one with the
satellites in space.
And another guy also doing wireless charging. Yeah. I mean, imagine. I mean, who would have thought of that? And it's a Malaysian. So we are capable. I mean, in agri-tech, yes, you rightly point out, biotech as well. Of course, in digital tech, there's a lot of them out there. AI,
Of course, I can't forget about LLMs and AI and how Gen AI has created this exciting space as well.
Awesome, yeah.
A lot more tangible than Web3, but still Web3 has its place.
No, it's coming because, if I can add, our 5G penetration is actually one of the highest. So that really puts the infrastructure in place for future tech to come in.
Yeah. While we were talking, just reminded me that I saw YB Rafizi Ramli's post on LinkedIn, right? And he's also hyping up KL20. And the high growth, high value sectors that KL20 is going to be focusing on, Islamic fintech, agri-tech, but also electrical and electronics, powering our, leaning into our semicons strength, and also renewable energy. That's also an exciting space and the tech that comes into play there. Mm. Now, as we come to the close in this conversation, Norman, the big question here is, okay, yes, we have aspirations to become a regional startup. We want to become a top 20 ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Great goals, but we're competing with the likes of Singapore for capital. We're competing with the likes of Indonesia for market size and Thailand for the matter, or even the Philippines. All much bigger market potential. Singapore, obviously, smaller country, but financially hefty. What is Malaysia's selling point? What are we going out to the world and saying, this is why you want to be in Malaysia? What is brand Malaysia in the startup when it comes to startup ecosystem?
Come to Malaysia. Start your startup. Get the funding from Singapore. Sell in Indonesia. Go out to the world.
So it's a regional play, right?
It's a regional
operationally
play. Yes.
We are more efficient.
We are great in supporting and building new startups at that early stage, and then help support them to venture out.
Yeah, yeah. So a regional story.
A launchpad from Malaysia to the world.
That's an interesting brand. That is something we can sell.
Yeah.
Build in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Sell everywhere else.
Sell everywhere else.
Get funding from Singapore. But we are solving that funding, we're addressing that at least. You've got a panel on Tuesday, correct?
I think it is a
regional story you're talking about.
Correct. Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about that. And as we come to the close, shout out KL20 once again.
Do catch my panel discussion session. Will be on the second day at around 2:30 PM. So we'll be talking about how do we position ASEAN startup ecosystem as an access point to the larger Asia Pacific market. So with me, there will be someone from the startup Genome, who is actually the people who brings you that annual report of what the rankings, right, for the startup ecosystem. And I'll have my colleague from Thailand and a co-founder from a global media group as well, a startup who was actually based in Malaysia but has sold everywhere else in the world, have actually accessed the global markets, right? So that will be on at 2:30 on Tuesday. Yep.
Wonderful. And there's a lot more going on. If anyone wants to search for that, just Google KL20 and you'll find the agenda online and what's going on there. Norman, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Folks, that was Norman Van Hacker. He is the Group CEO of the Cradle Fund. And this has been Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on the BFM app or on bfm.my. Our shows are also available on wherever you listen to your podcasts. Just look for Enterprise Explores. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.